podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, what is going on? Welcome back to a brand new TAT pod. Guys, we made it. We made it until the end of the season. We've not quit. We didn't give up halfway through. We're here. We're here to talk about a shambolic season. Not all in this stream. That is going to be on a separate stream, to be fair. But we're here to talk about yesterday's game specifically. And as Liverpool FIFA fan 74, interesting name, says Seam Senor, we'll be talking about Bobby, of course, in this podcast. We're going to be focusing on the game yesterday, the 8-goal thriller, and we're going to be talking a little bit about a couple of the players there, maybe where we see their futures, and obviously Fabio Carvalho, the news that came out today about him potentially leaving the club. So smash a like button, subscribe if you haven't already, help us reach that 1,000 milestone, because guys, we're revamping TAT Pod. There's going to be all sorts of stuff coming next season. I have secured about 17 out of the 20 clubs. I've got a representative from 17 of the clubs. I'm struggling to find Chelsea, guys. Chelsea are so small. I can't find someone that's willing to go on from Chelsea. Yeah, big things coming to the pod. So make sure you smash a subscribe button if you haven't and put your notifications on. But boys, first of all, welcome back, Elliot. Seems like forever since we've spoken, mate. how you doing, my friend?
All good, all good. Just excited for a long summer, shall we say.
Long summer, mate. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And Mike with the fresh trim. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing all right. I look like a bit of an egg today. It's all good. yeah, they went a bit shorter than originally intended, but it's all good. We're here. It'll grow back. You know, by the next season, I'll have a long head of hair again, so it'll be sweet.
Hey, it's summer, mate. You know what I mean? It's nice to have short hair in the summer. Let's get some of your comments. Zachariah says, hi. Hello, mate. Okay, this guy's spamming comments. I will just say you will be muted and timed out if you continue to do so. Will Mack wear the number 10 if he joins us? We don't have that information, but I'm pretty sure he probably will. Any news on McAllister? We will touch on him as well at the end. Flipping heck, McAllister is very popular. Who do you think we'll sign as an 8 apart from McAllister? We'll get on to all the transfer stuff towards the end of the pod, guys. We have to talk about 8 goals. We have to talk about yesterday's performance. And let's start off with the lineups. This is where we always like to start on this pod. I'm going to take it away first. I usually ask you guys to stuff it. I'm going to take it away first today. It's what I expected, to be fair. It's what I expected. We all said that we're probably going to see some rotation. A couple of the lads that are leaving are probably going to start. And the performance and the result that we got matched the lineup that we started with, in my opinion. I expected, as soon as I saw that lineup, I thought it, you know, it's not going to be a nice game. I didn't expect an 8-goal thriller. I didn't expect us to struggle that much. But I certainly didn't expect us to play the way we had been playing in the last, you know, 10 games or so. I certainly expected a bit of a drop-off, especially with that centre-back pairing, and, you know, we will get into that a little bit. But, Elliot, did you share that same sort of thing? Because, again, I've seen people not so much melting down, but saying the same stuff that we'd seen over the last few months. And for me, it was just that on this game, like, who's really bothered?
Yeah, they could have played Jay Spear in the sixth, and I would have been buzzing, to be honest, because like who actually really cares? It was a good fun for all. I wanted to see Arthur, Ox, and Kate as well, but obviously I think Kate's injured, and for some reason Arthur's just not got any sorts of minutes. But the team, it was one of them I didn't really mind who played. I was glad to see Mildred for me and I'll play. I think that was always going to be a plan, especially with not to play for. I think if top four was still on, I don't think they really get the 90 minutes, but it was nice from Klopp to do that. As you said, centre-back partnership we've seen, not really good enough. But we'll have to wait and see for some changes this summer, whether that happens or not. You know, centre-back is probably a bit of a bigger issue than we've all anticipated now, as well as midfield. So, as I said, it's going to be one long summer. Whether Liverpool get it right or not is another question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is the concern, isn't it, right now, obviously. The whole Jude thing, I think, has sent a lot of nerves into the fan base, a lot of anxious people, you know, okay, we've missed out on our main target already, the window's not open, you know, what are we going to do? And again, that will come later on in the pod. But Mike, did you share the same thing with that lineup, mate? How did you feel going into this game? Was you sort of just like, whatever, like, who cares?
Yeah, it was one of them. It was a free swing, wasn't it? I think both sides kind of seen it that way. They want us to go on a good send-off for their, you know, in front of their own fans, last game of the Premier League they'll have for at least a season. And it felt like we were just sort of getting a couple of people minutes, you know what I mean? Seeing, you know, Milner having the armband was a lovely little touch. I thought, you know, Klopp obviously said in his interview, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, he wasn't doing anything for sentiments. He was going to pick the lineup that was best for the team. You know, and then he gave Milner the armband in the start. Which, you know, by the way, it's not disrespect James Milner. Like, I genuinely love what he's done for the club. But, like, it's very apparent out of the four players, there were two very favourite ones for Klopp that were leaving. And there were two that I think he might have felt not let down by. But, like, I feel like he probably was hoping for more from, especially with Naby. In terms of Keller in goal and, you know, Gomez, Matip at the back, you know, we'll get into all that side of things. But I think this game, you know, it was very fun watching social media without tweeting. First 20 minutes, oh, we're back. Next 20 minutes, we're the worst team. You know, Klopp's got to go. Oh,
everyone's got to be sold.
Everyone's got to be sold. Trent, he's awful, da-da-da. Then final 20 minutes of the game. I think we can do the quad next season, boys. I get grip. I can't. I really can't, man. But it is what it is. It, you know, that's part of the fun of Twitter, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, we've seen how it went.
Yeah, of course. And that is social media, isn't it? And, again, it was a game of ups and downs. And the best way I described this game, I think I said that about another game recently as well, I think we saw the good and the bad of our season in one game. And we'll get on to the game in detail in just a moment. But everything that we've done bad, we saw. And everything that we've done good, we saw across 90 minutes. And, you know, I was at the game. So I'm going to talk on memory. I've watched the goals back. So, you know, I think when you're there, you kind of see different things to what you see when you're watching it at home. So I'm going to do my best to remember different parts of the game, but sometimes it's not as easy, especially when, for me, in that away and yesterday, the whole thing was just about singing Bobby, saying bye to Bobby, saying bye to me. And I didn't care about the score. Like, when Bobby scored, that was it. Time, you know, I said to my brother, like, oh, time to go home. Like, obviously joking, but that's all we needed to see. The result was meaningless. We couldn't go further up. We couldn't go further down. Southampton are relegated. It was just a bit of a sort of exhibition kind of atmosphere, really. Bit of a, you know, just a bit of fun in the sun, really. That was the best way I could describe it. But let's get on to the game and talk about the start particularly. And Elliot, we started off really well, to be fair. We were 2-0 up after 14 minutes. Romeo Lavia getting his first assist for Liverpool. Squaring the ball to the... I'm joking, by the way, guys. That is just a joke. That's my personal opinion. That's not the opinion of the Anfield Talk. But Romeo Lavia just passes the ball to Diogo Jota. And then he gets the easiest finish of his life. And then moments later, I think it was the 14th minute, Bobby does what Bobby does best, puts two defenders on the backside and puts it in the bottom corner, mate. And we're just thinking at that stage, like, oh, we're going to steamroll these now.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, Southampton have been awful. There's no getting past that. They panicked with hiring Sellers, it seems. And, you know, he's not even going to get the chance of bringing them back up. So when Liverpool go 2-0 up, you think, oh, the Aston Villa draw was a bit of a blip. For me, who's got his last goal? Maybe he'll get another one. You know, the away end's going to go crazy for him. And it was a lovely goal for him. It was epitomised the side of the club, really, as you said. Two defenders on the back side. It was a lovely ball from Trent into Fabinho into an attacking area, which it could be something to look out for, I think, in terms of who Liverpool sign, if, fingers crossed, they do sign someone for the defensive midfield role. And then, well, Lavia, of course, has been linked to him. It was not the best first impression, but, you know, it's the way Sellers wants Southampton to play, it's going to happen. But 2-0 up inside 14, you think it'll be 4-5, but did not go that way at all, really.
No, and by the way, big up Jamie. You guys, make sure you check out his channel. I'll be on a stream with him tomorrow at 8 p.m. Discourse of Liverpool season. So make sure you go check him out. Quality guy. Yeah, absolutely, mate. At that point, it just felt like, oh, this is going to be a nice little way to end the season. But Mike, it didn't last for very long, did it, mate? I mean, after we went 2-0 up, I feel like maybe... Because I always thought, like, even before I went 2-0 up, I said to my brother, like, I could see a few players' body language kind of told me that,
yeah,
this team are ready to just go on their holidays, do whatever. And then 100%. At 2-0 up, I think it got a little bit worse than that. So what do you feel happened at 2-0? They just replied with four goals. And, you know, to be fair, Mike, I can't be bothered to sit here talking about all four goals. We'll summarise them all.
I'll go quick.
Put for reply, yeah. So what happened, mate, in that?
I mean, for me, it wasn't even... Yeah, man, listen, you're 100% right. There's no point sitting here discussing a game that doesn't matter. You know what I mean? But I think all in all, you've seen the best and worst of us. You know, going forward, we thought we were really creative throughout the 90 minutes. I say throughout the 90 minutes, probably 40 minutes of the 90. I thought we looked really good. Pressing started well, ended well. 60 minutes in between, God knows what happened. To be fair, yeah, I think majority of the players, other than maybe Gakpo, Salah, Trent, they were on their holiday in a little bit. Which, you say, you kind of understand that. I don't mean that you shouldn't be working your hardest, but I think after the Villa result, if we get a result at Villa, it's a whole different game. It's a whole different 11 against Southampton if we get a result at Villa. But everyone just seems to have clocked out. Salah was being more selfish than I think he usually would have because he was just trying to get his goal. It wasn't so much trying to win the game; he was just trying to get his goal throughout. If that makes sense. Defensively, there was zero organization. I don't think I've seen Fabinho open his mouth throughout the 90 minutes, which is a little bit concerning for me. I am someone who likes Fabinho. I do think he belongs in this team. I think he gets a lot of stick, and I do believe form's temporary for a lot of players, especially someone where it's down to read the way you read the game. You don't really lose that. You can lose your legs, but you don't lose how you read the game. So I'm not someone who's like avidly like, oh, Fabinho out, but that's a whole different conversation, I suppose. But yeah, exploited at the back of the back post where the right back should be. I lost count how many times this happened this season. I think tactically we need to look at that because if we're trying to move Trent into midfield, then it's got to be the right centre mid that's probably coming to support him in those areas defensively. But Milner's not got the legs or whatever it could be. There's just, we can't be exploited at the back post again next season. But yeah, all in all, like we knew what to expect. I think when we went 4-2 behind, I didn't leave. I didn't turn the TV off. I was like, there's more goals in this game because neither side can defend. So it was a game of FIFA at the end of the day is what it looked like.
Absolutely. At 4-2 down, it was the least cared I've been in a game because we keep saying it just meant nothing. Of course we want to see the team win. I went 3 hours down south. I didn't do that in hope that, you know, we'd lose a game. So I did want to see us win. And the reply, I think once we did go 4-2 down, we made a couple of changes. We'll get onto that in a bit later, like, you know, the impact that a couple of the subs made. But yeah, I just want to briefly talk on Kelleher and Elliot. I said this off air just very briefly to you guys. Our whole fan base, and it is the majority of the fan base, because I've seen this opinion on so many pods, it's been all over Twitter, that Quirin Kelleher is the best backup goalkeeper in the Premier League. That's the general consensus among Liverpool supporters. And yes, I said on a tweet after the game on the way home that Quirin Kelleher probably should have saved at least two or three of those yesterday. And I think if Alisson starts, we can see two or three. He saves two or three of them, especially the one that was at his near post. There was one where he kind of goes over the ball. But on the flip side of that, mate, this is a lad that's barely kicked a ball this season. He's barely had any games because we didn't get far in the domestic cups. Obviously, he's not going to play in the Champions League. So I do kind of have some sort of leeway for him in some sense because he's been a backup. He stayed another season where he could have demanded to leave in the summer after, you know, winning the cups, the Carabao Cup, and, you know, having that bit of run of form. He had every right to say, okay, I've had a taste of first team football now. I've played at Wembley. I want to be a number one. But he stayed. He's our backup keeper. And then yesterday, he doesn't have a great game, doesn't cover him too much glory. And all of a sudden, he's not that best backup keeper and people are ready to cash in. What are you saying about Quirin Kelleher now? Has your opinion changed or is it just cobwebs that he needs to dust off?
No, I don't think my opinion's changed. I don't. I mean, it's an argument to have if he is the best backup goalkeeper in the league. I'm sure you can compare that with several, you know, Ortega maybe. There's a few more. There's a good standard of backup goalkeepers in the Premier League, especially with the big six clubs, as they should be. I think him winning the League Cup would have kept him at the club this season. Any sort of, you know, conversation with Kelleher says, I want first team, they'll go, well, look what we've given you. And couldn't replicate this season because it would have been awful. But I said that on the last podcast I think I was on, the Europa League could really keep him. I think if he stays, he gets the whole group stage. Some, you know, very fun away days for him to, you know, kind of soak up atmospheres and gain that experience. But it probably would be best for him to move on for his own career. Some of the prices I've seen are maybe a bit much for a backup goalkeeper. I think 20 million is probably the benchmark you want to say, with that. You know, City sold Bazunu for 15, I think it was. And, you know, they're both Irish, both the same probably standard, you'd say. Bazunu hasn't had a great season. So you're probably comparing him with Kelleher like that. But in my opinion, hasn't changed. He didn't have a great game, but that's what happens when you don't play any of the games. You're playing the last game of the season against the team you just want to give the fans something to shout about because they haven't got a game, as you said, Mike, in the Premier League for another season. Cobwebs, you've got to play consistently to be good. He wasn't great yesterday, but he is a good goalkeeper, no doubt about that. So I think a sale this summer would be best for both parties at the end of the day.
Yeah, and he was massively exposed as well, wasn't he, Mike? I think Eunice says it's spot on here. Wait till we get the centre-backs, and we'll get on to the centre-back pairing in just a moment. But I think, obviously, a couple of them he could have done better, but when he's getting zero protection ahead of him and he's just exposed as he was yesterday, you've got to think, okay, like we said, this is a keeper that's not really played. You can understand why he struggled a bit.
I can 100%. And I think, you know, Eunice in the comments makes a good point in terms of the centre-backs in front of him do matter. In terms of when he's played quite inconsistently for us throughout his whole career. And so although I do buy into the fact he needs to run games to get form, I've seen him come in cold in finals and play phenomenally well. So I sometimes don't buy into it. What I do agree with, and something we touched on before, is the plays were kind of clocked out yesterday. His defence in front of him was kind of clocked out. I thought at times he looked kind of clocked out with his distribution as well. And it's no slight on him by any means. Like, I think he's a very good keeper. I don't buy into the hype of him being the second best backup goalkeeper in the league. Sorry, the best backup goalkeeper in the league. I believe he's a good keeper, and I just don't believe we've seen enough of him to make that justification. You know, I mean, Scott Carson, you know, what a player. No, I'm joking. But, like, he's a good keeper, Kelleher. Like,
he is at Newcastle.
Listen, I will not slander that man. That man has been through enough. No, listen. God, I've lost my train of thought here. Nah, listen, Kelleher is a good keeper. I think it's probably best for both parties if he left in the summer. I do believe that. I think we're better off signing another young lad that can play in the cups, get him experience, and go from there, and then sell Kelleher for 15, 20 mil and reinvest. Because unfortunately, that is how we run. So if we're thinking pragmatically, which is part of my argument for Carvalho later, we have to act pragmatically and we have to cut ties when we need to cut ties. If you can get 15 or 20 for Kelleher, now's the time to cash it in, because you won't get that for him next summer.
Yeah, well, Klopp said, didn't he, that it would only take a big bid to let him go. Like, if it's, you know, I don't know what they value him at. I think probably 20 minimum, to be fair. I think that's how much, because if you think about it, we got 18 for Rian Brewster, which was way back in the day, and that was just an absolute miracle. I mean, we've lost so much with Michael Edwards leaving the club. He fleeced clubs. And I reckon if we had him, we could probably get 25 for Kelleher, but who knows? But Klopp did say that, you know, unless a huge bid comes in, he won't be leaving. So it'll be interesting to see how that does play out. But yeah, just back to the game briefly, guys. Let's talk about us for just a bit. We conceded 4 goals without reply. But yeah, our third goal for me, and this is a player who came on and I thought was then the best player on the pitch. And I actually watched the game amongst his family yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw my tweet. I was behind Harvey Elliott's family yesterday, his dad was wearing a Harvey Elliott shirt. I'd seen him on, there's been a few posts of him on Twitter before, so I knew it was him. And when he came on, they were going crazy for him. And at the end of the game, like, he was just looking around. I went up to him and just said to him, like, oh, he was the best player on the pitch when he came on today. Because I genuinely thought he was. Like, I'm not saying it because I was there with his dad. But I thought when he came on the pitch that he sort of changed the game, and it was that moment when he came on the pitch we started to attack better, especially down the right hand side. And it wasn't even just that, it was his defensive work. This kid's always going in for tackles. Like, people think just because he's small and he's not the strongest, he still tries his hardest and he still puts in the work, and his effort can never be questioned. And look, I know some people will question if he's good enough for this club to start week in, week out, and that's fine. I'm not saying that, you know, he is. I'm not saying that we shouldn't buy anyone, but I believe Harvey Elliott, he's still got a very high ceiling. I still believe that with the Europa League that we're in next season, you know, the cup competitions. And I've said this point so many times. I said it about Curtis Jones as well. We don't need every player to be world-class. We don't need every player to be one of the top three or four in their position in the world. We need players like Harvey Elliott and Curtis Jones. And when he came on yesterday, especially for that third goal we scored, he flicks it over to Trent. Trent plays one simple ball across the ball to Gakpo, and Elliott, we're back in it. And when I say we saw the best of and the worst of Liverpool in that one game, I think that goal was, I'm not saying the goal of the season, but that is what we can do, isn't it? Like, when we want to flick a switch, we can just produce a goal like that.
Yeah, it was a nice move. It was something we've already seen, wasn't it? Gakpo's first goal for the club, Trent finds with the back post. So it's a nice theme already starting between them two. Elliot was, I've always said it, and I'll say it probably until he gets to about 30 years old with Harvey Elliott. There's a player there. You don't sign a player for that much money when he was that young at Fulham to say that he's not good enough. And there was a reason why he played every game up until, I'm going to guess, 29th or 30th league game or whatever it was. He was in every game starting, I think it was. Could be wrong, so you'll have to check for me. But, you know, that's not a coincidence. What has surprised me with the new system is that Henderson's been, like, thrown in at a role he can't play. He's never played, even when he was a youngster, where he's playing as almost like an unorthodox centre forward from the right, when Elliott seems almost perfect for that. Listen, and maybe Klopp's going for the tried and trusted because he was, banking on being a top four, charge, which he was, but still Henderson wasn't good in that role. He doesn't seem suited for it. The only role he seems suited for in that system is probably where Fabinho plays, and he's not even a natural number six, Henderson. So for me, Elliott not getting a chance in that role was a bit bizarre, but maybe it's because he trusted Jones over him. So having two young English midfielders in a new system was a bit too brave or something, but I think it was the time for braveness when Liverpool were going for top four. But I hope to see Elliott, a lot in the Europa League, and I think we will. What position? I'm not sure whether it'll be where Salah plays, because Salah's not going to play Europa League group stage, not at all. I'd be very interested to see how that happens next season. I think it may become another problem for him like it has this season. We don't know his best position, so maybe it can work out for him with Europa when he tries midfield and tries the wing. But to desperately want to see him succeed because we all know how much he loves the club. And he's a good player. There's no doubt about that, but the ceiling's so high for him, he needs to reach it. He does need to reach it.
Absolutely. And again, that in my brief conversation with his dad, that's what he said as well. He loves the club. He just wants to play. And he's getting him those games. And, we make a great point. Next season, that Europa League competition, that can make players. Like, we saw it with Arsenal. I'm not saying that he's going to go on to be Saka level, but that's where Saka made his name. That's where, Arsenal started to play this kid week in, week out in the Europa League against lesser opposition, gets the confidence up. And look what that did for Saka. I'm not saying Harvey Elliott's going to go on to be that level. Who knows? He could be. Who knows? But Mike, do you agree with what me and Elliott have just said there about Harvey?
I do and I don't. Listen, I think he's got a high ceiling. I think he's a top player. I really do. I like Harvey Elliott a lot. I think our issue with him is we don't know his best position. We brought him as a winger on the right. The way we play doesn't have the pace for that. I think he's got a very good footballing brain. I think that's one of the reasons why Klopp loves him as much as he does. Him trying to adapt to playing the right side of a three in the Henderson role as it was never going to work. I know he played 30-odd games there, but it never really worked because defensively, he just doesn't work for that. He just doesn't. It's just not in his game. Not yet, anyway. I mean, he's only 20 years of age, and that's a big thing as well. He's only 20 years of age. I'm really tired of going on Twitter and seeing people write players off when they're 20 years of age. I think it's ludicrous, even 21, 22. Curtis Jones is only 21, and people are like, yeah, mate, your career's over, you're awful. And it's like, mate, he's literally... chances are, the ones that are saying that are the ones that are nearly 30 and sitting at home.
He's had one good game as well in his whole career, not as Everton. It's like, oh, my God.
There's a lack of football intelligence on the timeline every time they slander a footballer, because it's always over the most mundane, off-the-time incorrect stuff as well. And that's why I just sort of read it and move on from it. You know what I mean? Try not to engage. But when it comes to Harvey Elliott, Europa League, like you guys said, very important. I think him playing week in, week out in that, making sure we have a settled formation, which he can drift in and out of both in the Prem and Europa, is very important. I don't know whether he will be a Liverpool player.
That's fine, though.
Yeah, this is what I mean. And I think that it comes down to the next two seasons. Not necessarily next season. It comes down to the next two seasons. if he can sustain himself in terms of producing quality, pushing for a start, being able to be sort of moved in and out of the 11 where needed and performing in big moments, that's a big thing if you're going to be consistent. I've seen a lot there in the comments talking about Ben Doak. Well, Doak could play roughly where Salah is. We're talking about sort of like the pushed on right central midfield position where we'd see Elliot, but I can see where your comment is 100%. Like, Doak should definitely play in Europa League. But it's what he does in the next two seasons. I'd love to see him add a few more assists to his game, a few more goals, because he's got that quality. He's got the finish in him. So it's just about consistency with him and consistently performing at an 7-8 out of 10 rather than a 5-6, if that makes sense.
Yeah. But, no, I get what you're saying. Just on the Ben Doak thing, I don't think we go that weak in Europa. I did see, though,
something saying that he will get a chance. I don't know what report it was. It was a very brief thing, but I did see that he might, maybe on the bench. I do agree with you.
Yeah,
I think
that's what I was gonna
Europa
say,
will be much stronger than I think we anticipate, purely because of the Conference League, because the Conference League has all the teams from the countries who aren't high in the coefficient ranking. So I think Europa may be stronger than some of us anticipate, but it could also be much weaker and we could see Doak. But I did see something saying he will get some sort of chance, so it'll be very interesting.
It's all down the preseason though as well. I think there are certain players coming back off loan or coming up through the academy where they have a strong preseason, they'll be in with a really big chance to be involved in the Europa League squad. And listen, we have no one on that right. We have plenty that can play on the left side, plenty that can play down the middle. We have nobody that can play on the right other than Salah. So if Doak can make an impact, it looks good. It's his to take if he can perform.
I 100% agree, and I rate Ben Doak very highly. I think the short few cameos we've seen of him so far, when he's come on, the confidence played with at, what is he, 16, 17 now? I'm not entirely sure how old he is.
Like 17 now, I think.
Yeah, so I think, like Elliot said, I think he may go on the bench. I just feel that we may have more, like, sort of first teamers that will need game time. You know, we've already got the Darwin Nunez headache, who's obviously going to take one of those spots. Then it's either going to be Jota or Diaz, which one of them has not played in the league, will then play in Europa. And then that leaves one space for either Harvey or a Ben Doak. So I agree with the comment. But the thing that makes me think that, okay, I think we're going to take this quite seriously, is Klopp's comments in his press conference, it was the other day. He was just going on about how, yeah, it's not the Champions League, but it's still a European competition. It's still a competition that we want to win, and we will try and win it, which I want, to be fair. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, oh, yes, Europa League, come on, I'm so excited. But I do want to win every single cup we're in. And this is the only one we haven't won under Klopp. Obviously, we got to the final in 2016, just a bit of an inexperienced side compared to Sevilla's. I don't think we were quite ready to get to that final at that stage. But let's go for this, and this has gone off on a complete different.
No, way. Stay on it. It's quite Ben.
No, I do agree.
It's quite poetic, though, isn't it? Because Klopp talks about almost like we're starting the next chapter, the next squad, the next team. And you think about when we first started with him, the first thing we did with him was go to one final where we lost against City, and we went on that Europa League run. So there is this fundamental cycle that we're almost going through again, where we're rebuilding. Originally, it was our forward line. I remember it was the forward line that we had to rebuild last time. We brought in Mane. We turned Firmino to the false nine. We brought in Salah the following season. Whereas now, it's the midfield is kind of the core element that we're rebuilding. And we're seeing a very different midfield rebuild as well. Last time, it was all engines with Eugenio Wijnaldum's Henderson coming into that role and Fabinho. Whereas now, it looks like we're just going for this more technically driven midfield, which I think is really fascinating. And I don't know whether that's the Linders effect, and I'm not blaming Linders like everyone does for everything now. Mate, it was insane. Someone's seen the 11 the other day and was like, bloody Pep Linders that. And it's so mad, silly. Mate, it's just weird.
So the book, mate. The reason why this bad is because that book.
Oh, my God. Take a day off.
He exposed every single thing that we're going to do. This is, by the way, the people that say that have never read a page of
Bro, I've read the book. I, like, trust me, as someone who's read the book, I don't fucking know a single thing more. Like, I've not read the book and gone, I could set up against Liverpool next week, mate, no problem.
it's crazy. Let's go back to just because we've still got one more goal to talk about. Great finish, wasn't it, from Diogo? And I think we've said it before. If you want somebody running on the end of a through ball to get that chance to get a goal, I think out of anyone in the squad, Diogo is the one I'm backing from those situations to bury the chance. And it was an absolutely sensational finish. He didn't really get a chance to celebrate it. He just turned around to the fans, slapped his chest, and then we had to go again to try and find the winner. But Elliot, Diogo, obviously he had a long layoff, didn't he, this season, and we really missed him in time.
Yeah.
But again, how important is he going to be, mate, getting him back firing for next season?
Yeah, no, I'm glad I've been proven a little bit wrong. So I will say I was a little bit worried when he came back. But
no, I think we all were.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit of a thing with injuries, isn't it? I think we all get worried because why wouldn't you? But I'm glad he's scoring and the finish was brilliant. It was the first time, instinctive, and that's what he is. He's little fox in the box kind of thing, isn't he? He's probably a bit different to everyone we've got because I think it's I'm going to sound mad here, but when Salah's on goal, there's always a bit of doubt, I feel.
The one-on-one, was it Villa?
Oh, I can't remember, but there's been a few instances when you have a bit of doubt. Whereas with Jota, I think, you know, if he got a first time, he takes a touch and he can kind of like, you know, just you can see the picture of the goal. You don't really have a doubt that he's not going to, you know, get it on target. It was a great finish. Lovely pass from Salah as well, something which he gets underrated for, you know, the assists. So it was just a nice goal, and it was unfortunate that Liverpool couldn't get the winner. I think Salah has a lovely little chance, doesn't he? That would have been some goal, but that doesn't happen. But, you know, 4-4 kind of, as you said, sums up the season in 190 minutes. It's impressive that Liverpool can do that on the last day, to be honest. But, yeah, it says a lot about how stupid this season's been, really.
Yeah, it's been crazy, hasn't it? And, Mike, just your thoughts as well on Diogo. I mean, We've got a big headache next season, haven't we? All these forwards, we don't really know what the front three is, but I think Jürgen's probably now leaning towards Jota, Gakpo and Salah. Do you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yeah. I think it's hard, isn't it? Because I've seen Laurie, actually, I really butchered his name there, but I've seen him make a good point the other day regarding we spent how much on Nunes, but then it took, like, what, 2 games for Gakpo to slide in and fit in. So in terms of, like, you know, Nunes is still adapting and players adapt at different speeds, and I do think the way that Gakpo's plays rather sort of suited Liverpool and made sense. The Nunes one is a bit more of a wildfire. I'm still waiting for that to click, but listen, Jota's the best finisher at the club, which is a mad statement obviously with Salah, but in terms of one-on-one situations, he's so calm and composed, and he's just a very natural goal poacher. And I think, you know, him, Salah, Gakpo is a front three that I'd be very confident going into next season. Diaz is going to need a whole preseason, probably the start of the season, coming off the bench to really find his feet again, which is completely fine. He spent eight months on the sideline. And Nunes, you know, let's see what happens. I'm curious to see his development. But listen, all that to say as well, you list off those players and you can understand why Carvalho, he's not going to be able to get into the starting 11 next year. He's just not. He's a left winger. And we'll go on to that in a bit. I'm quite passionate about that whole thing because I hated what I seen on Twitter today. I really did. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think you're right with the front three. I think you're right on your take with Jota as well. It's nice to see him back and among the goals. He's someone who turns up in a big moment with a cool head, though. We're talking about cool heads and big moments. He might be one of the coolest of the lot. So, you know, he'll roll on next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Diogo quickly became a fan favourite in that season, didn't he? When obviously he was locked down and he comes in and he did really well. He came on, scored a few goals against Arsenal, and there's a couple more big goals he scored for us. And obviously last season especially, it felt like every time I went to Liverpool, I came away and Jota had scored a big goal. Especially in domestic corps. And I think he's just an extremely likeable guy as well, to be fair. And I think, you know, that's only going to do him the world of good that he's quickly become a fan favourite. We just need to hope he can stay fit now, because that's a few injuries he's had for us, which is quite concerning. But let's just hope that, you know, these are just like a few one-offs. I know that sounds quite ironic, but let's just see what happens with him. I just want to talk about one more player from this game specifically, because again, this one has divided. Well, it's not really divided opinion. I think everyone's pretty much on the same page now when it comes to this player. And then we will touch on Carvalho, McAllister and other things. So please make sure you stick around. We'll probably be doing it for 20, 25 minutes. Smash a like button if you haven't already and subscribe, please. But Elliot, Joe Gomez. Yeah, I'm really trying, mate. I love the guy. I think he's a great guy. You know, for me, Virgil and Gomez in 1819 is the best centre back partnership I've seen at Liverpool to this day, and it's just it feels like every time he gets one of those injuries, because again, this just feels like I'm saying this about every player at this point, but he is injury prone. He does always have constant problems. And it's just always a setback. Every single time he gets injured, he comes back, he gets injured again, so another setback. And it just feels like, for me, watching him play now, that maybe the most recent injury he's had might be one setback too far for him in a Liverpool shirt.
Yeah, it's a massive, massive shame. You say injury prone, but it's a different type of injury prone, isn't it? Because you can compare him to someone like Sturridge, who was renowned for his, you know, little injuries. Whereas Gomez, as you said, comes back, has another big one, You just think one step too far. I think any professional player, you know, if Van Dijk goes as ACL out another couple of times, you're thinking, well, he could be done, which has basically happened to Gomez with the massive injuries. I'm really disappointed for him. You know, he had a shocker against Madrid as well. He was in the Napoli game. He's not been great this season at all. And the most annoying thing for me is you go and watch the Liverpool 1-0 against Manchester City. He was sublime against the best player on the planet probably this season. So it's so annoying. And you'd hope that, you know, some clubs looking at him will see that before they see kind of the bad performances, so Liverpool can maybe get some money for him. But it's the only thing is he's English, isn't it? So the homegrown thing, there's another issue there where the Klopp will, you know, wanting to keep him. I don't think he would want to keep him because of just how poor he's been. But there is maybe an opportunity there with Konate's, you know, right side and centre back role where he's covering Trent, because Gomez, you know, he can play right back and he's had this pace. But I think the important word there is had, as you said, injuries. He's just lost just so much of that. And I do think Liverpool go into next season with him as one of the four options. I think Liverpool will regret it because he's regressed it this season. And then even maybe Matip as well. I do think there's a big issue at centre-half, which is another shame because the whole thing should be midfield, but it isn't. And it does need to be addressed.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something that might have caught the fans off guard as well, because like you say, Ali, it was all midfield in the summer. Everyone was like, we sign one midfielder, we automatically do this, and it's just like, no, this is not how it works. And now all of a sudden, Mike, it's like Elliot says, we need at least two or three midfielders. Looks like we probably need a centre back, maybe even more than one if one of them leaves. So first of all, mate, the same question about Joe Gomez. And you know, I've seen people say on streams and stuff in the past, like, oh, if we take 40 million for Joe Gomez, we accept it. I don't think we get anywhere near close
to 40 million. You wouldn't. I understand why people would jump to that. You know, you think, you know, he's won everything. He's 26 years of age. English, you know, you talk about English tax is always a common phrase. First thing I'll say on Joe Gomez, we bought him in 2015-16. We bought him in. He had an injury that kept him out for like 60 days or something like that. When he came back and started coming into the team, we all could see the potential. His pace, read the game well, and he was alert. I think the one thing he's lost, he hasn't lost his pace yet. He's lost his awareness at times. He falls asleep. And like, I think this season, he's only missed 5 games. So we talk about injuries. We talk about injuries with him. Last couple of seasons before this season, 100%. I think 2 seasons ago in, we had that mad crisis with injuries. He was out for the whole season, right? But this season, he's only missed 5 games. I look at a whole squad. There's a lot more players that have missed a lot more games. I think missing 5 games from an injury in a whole season, it's not really that bad, to be honest with you. So in terms of his fitness, that's not really a question for me at the moment. It's more so I don't know where his awareness has gone. His alertness is in certain moments he switches off in a way that I have not seen him do in prior seasons. And I do think he's a really good centre back. I still stand by him. And like, if we kept him for another summer and we were able to find consistency with him again, there's a world class centre back there. And 26 is still young. The prime centre back, really, you're talking 28 to 31 is a prime centre back's years. I'm hesitant on getting rid of him because he can't play in the right back area. But to be fair, we've got Ramsey and we've got Bradley. I'm really excited about Bradley. You know, I'll talk about him in the summer, but I'm really excited about Conor Bradley. But Joe Gomez, I still have faith. Maybe it is naive, but there's a reason he was alongside Van Dijk in that season where we won the league. he was phenomenal when he's been in the team. He's been phenomenal. I just think this season, no one's been on form. I can't judge him on this season. Same way I wouldn't judge Van Dijk on this season, because let's be honest, Van Dijk's had a really bad season. The only difference is Van Dijk played a lot more than Joe Gomez.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see where you're coming from, but I just feel like when he was, you know, sort of 24, I just felt like I needed more progression from him.
Mm.
And yesterday, I can't remember what goal it was, when I seen him running away from the ball.
I think it was the second.
I know Virgil's got this thing where he sort of gets low and like runs backwards, but this guy was literally sprinting away. And I'm just like, what? Where are you going? Yeah. Why are you running away? Like, and I'm not just blaming him either, because I agree with what you're saying about, you know, it's a whole like set of things. It's the midfield, it's the right hand side.
But you are right. You are right. Like, his decision making at times been awful. And I can see why people want to sell him. Because I understand if we were to sell him, I get that. But we're not getting 40 mil for him. Like, people need to wake up. We're not getting 40 mil for Joe Gomez. The same way people are like, oh, we'll get 35 for Kelleher. This is not FIFA. This is not, you know, this is not that, right? You're getting 20 mil for Kelleher at most, and you're probably getting 25 for Joe at most.
I agree.
And it's one of them. And if we do sell Joe Gomez for 25 mil, you'd like Elliot was talking about, you still got Joel Matip.
Mike, the 25 mil that you just said there, that's all good selling him for that, but what centre back can you get these days for 25 million?
I'm in complete agreement. Like,
yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We'd have to go and replace him with somebody that's first of all happy to not play week in, week out. That's the first thing you've got to look for, because let's be honest, it's going to be Virgil and Konate again next season. Unless we go and sign like a superstar, like a Vardiol or somebody like that, that's who it's going to be. So you've got to find somebody that's happy to play that sort of Joe Gomez role. Then you've got to get the right profile in terms of what we want, which again is another headache in itself. Then you've got to find somebody for that price. So I agree with the people that want to move on for him. But then I'm also thinking, for that money, are we going to be able to get a good enough replacement?
I don't see us. I feel like I'm talking too much, Elliot. So if you want to try, it's one of them, man. For me, it's like, I don't think we're even targeting. We're talking about this like this is what's going on. I don't think we're targeting the right centre back. I really don't.
No.
I think Matip. I do think Matip will go. I'll be shocked if he stays. If he does stay, fair enough. But like, it's a big wage, age. I know he's not been injured too much this season, but like, he makes sense for all the centre backs to leave. He makes the most sense to go. There's no slight on him because I think he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, I think Matip's the problem, to be honest, because you've got to pick, haven't you? You've got to pick, and I think they don't want to do two centre halves, because why would you? That's so much to kind of like, with a brand new system, the brand new system probably even arguable in football with this whole 3-2-4-1 kind of thing. You've got to make these young defenders adjust completely. So if you do two because you've lost two, that's a whole other thing as well as a whole group of midfielders. So I think they'll be very hesitant, which is why I think Gomez may survive the season. And I also think the right centre half role could be perfect for him, but as you said, there's awareness, and I do think pace has been lost. You can't not lose pace when you've had them big injuries, so it is a problem. But I do think he might survive one more season.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I think I can see us going for a left centre off. I really do. I think that's what we're going after. I don't think we're looking to buy another right footed defender.
No, I don't. Think
it's a left centre back who can probably play left back. That's probably what we're looking at realistically. Because you look at the centre backs we've been linked with, we're not looking at out and out defensive players. We're looking at Timber. I cannot say his name, so I apologize. But like the Portuguese lad Inacio. I really butcher it. All of it. I was about to say something very different. Yeah, Inacio. Like, he can play left back and, you know, left centre back, and in the same way Timbers can play right back, defensive midfielder, and centre back. They're the type of players we're looking at. So that tells me we're not looking to sign a Matip or Gomez replacement. We're looking for someone who in the next 4 or 5 years can take over from Van Dijk, which makes a lot of sense to me, because no slight on Van Dijk. In 4 or 5 years, I don't want to see him in the starting 11 for Liverpool.
No, that's fair. That's I agree with that. I think the Timber one's interesting for me, because you get all these people, oh, he's a midget, I'm taller than him. And so, well, yeah, I agree with the sort of worry that, you know, defending, that he's not going to be as, you know, dominant as like a Virgil or a Konate. But if this, like you say, Mike, if we're looking for somebody that can, you know, play on the left, Timber seems to be that sort of more advanced centre back, if that's a thing these days, like the more technically gifted sort of centre backs. And I think he can play on the wing. I'm not sure, you know, like I said, I'm not saying I've watched too much of him, but if we were going to sign somebody small, you'd like to think that the idea is that they're better on the ball, they can do things going forward, and they can, you know, contribute both ways. But yeah, let's just briefly move on, guys, because you are running out of time. I just want to talk about this story that came out today. I've got a few tweets to read out regarding this situation. Yeah, Fabio Carvalho is prepared to reluctantly accept a permanent departure from Liverpool this summer. He has been told he isn't part of Jurgen Klopp's plans for next season. And then there's another one. Fabio Carvalho has already been told that he will not be part of Jurgen Klopp's first team plans for the 23-24 campaign, regardless of how preseason goes. That's very harsh, in my opinion. And then the next one says, Fabio Carvalho has already been the subject of a big money bid from an unnamed Champions League club. And it remains to be seen whether Liverpool will ultimately agree to sell Carvalho, with the Merseyside club currently understood to be reluctant to lose a major young talent on a permanent basis. There have been tentative discussions about potential buyback clause being included in the deal. And then that's just one from the parade from last year. But Elliot, first of all, mate, this caused a stir on Twitter. I saw people losing their minds. First of all, what do you think's gone wrong in Fabio Carvalho's first year at the club? And do you see him leaving this summer, like, permanently?
No, I don't see him leaving permanently. I think that was from Dave Lynch? I might have got his first name wrong, but I think there was another report saying that bid has been rejected already and he don't want to lose him permanently. But I think Dave already said it in his piece as well. I don't think they'd want to lose him. They'd be stupid if they want to lose him. Listen, if he hasn't fitted in this season, so be it. That can happen to every young player on the planet in any team, anywhere. But there's a talent there. Obviously, Liverpool are desperate to get him in that January window when they got Diaz, and it didn't happen. They were desperate to get him in the summer. They got him, had a few cameo appearances, scores the win against Newcastle, gets a few little goal involvements, and then after the World Cup, you don't see him at all. Weird, yeah, but maybe something's happened where we haven't seen it. I'm not a big fan of the conspiracy theories, but there's been a few comments about maybe attitude issues. There's something about him under 20s at Portugal. I don't know how true that is. I'm not something I've read.
For the under-20s.
Something along them lines, yeah. So maybe I think it may be, you know, there's a bit of a correlation with that and kind of falling out of favour, but I don't think you can fall out of favour when he's already a backup. I just think Liverpool, if you want to look at it without some sort of, you know, big conspiracy theory. I think Liverpool were just in a bad shape for him. I mean, I know the argument is Elliot gets all this game time, but they're different players. I just think, you can comment on what you think Klopp thinks, but I also think that it could be wise management from him to not throw him in the deep end, and he looks, you know, out of shape, not tough enough, not, you know, end product isn't there, and maybe just not good enough right now. So maybe it makes sense, but listen, something could have happened and we'll have to wait and see if any more news comes out. But I'm not surprised that he could be leaving, to be honest, that I'm not surprised. And if Klopp wants him to, good, ruthlessness. We've all said we don't, you know, we want that, and if he wants him to go, then so be it. I'm not going to cry about it. So I don't know if you have different opinions, but if Klopp wants him to go, especially to gain experience, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, before Mike goes, I agree. When we signed him, I was very excited because I'd seen how good he'd been for Fulham. I'd seen various games when we were linked with him when it looked like he was certain to sign. I watched a few Fulham games and it felt like every time I did that, he was doing something, like he was getting a goal or he was getting an assist, which ultimately led to Fulham winning the championship title, which, by the way, is not an easy thing to win. So yeah, I was excited for the signing. He comes in, I think we've not really nailed down what we want to do with him in terms of where we want to play him. The whole attitude stuff, again, we can't say for sure, and I know you haven't, but people are saying, oh, it's because of his attitude. Like, we don't know that. We're not on the training ground. We don't see what happens on a day-to-day basis. I just think it's a case of, we had an opportunity to sign a very promising youngster, which, by the way, a lot of clubs in Europe were chasing down, for the cost of what I think it was 5 to 8 million or something like that, along those lines. So you get him in, if he shoots off like a Jude Bellingham did at that age, absolutely amazing. You know, you've got a talent, you've got him for years to come. If he doesn't, you can potentially move him on for profit, or you can loan him out to, you know, get his stock up, and then when he comes back, you either play him or you sell him. I think that's what we've done. I'd like to hope their plan was to get him in at some stage and to play him and to give him chances. But again, we don't know the reasons. Maybe they'll come out eventually. It's just not worked for him yet. So again, I don't want to sell him. I make that perfectly clear. I do want him loaned out. But Mike, if they did sell him for a decent fee, I don't think I'd lose too much sleep over it.
Depends what you define as a decent fee.
20 million.
So now you've that's loaded, because now I'm going to come in here and say yes to that, and it makes me sound like I'm excited to sell him. So on Twitter, it'll be like, yeah, all of them just want rid of him. No, I listen, if you get 20 mil for him, if that was the big offer, then I think we would be silly to not accept it. Just not because of him as a player, but because of the position we're in as a club. I understand. I've seen a lot of people kicking off just like, oh, how can he not be in the plans for Klopp next season? How can he not be given a chance? Look at how we play. He's not strong. Respectfully, he's not strong enough to do the defensive work, right? So you think, right, he needs to be a part of the front three. Our left side, we have the option of Nunes, Gakpo, Jota. He's not getting a look. He's not. And he's a young, because of how good he is as a young player, he should be playing games. And people kicking off as well saying, oh, well, you know, why did we buy him in to send him on loan? I don't know whether people have short-term memories, but what did we do with Harvey Elliott? We bought Harvey Elliott in. He hung out with us for a season, got used to how we want to play, the expectation. Then went Blackburn, did phenomenal, came back, and now we have him. This is not an alien thing we're doing. And people are losing their mind because people lose their mind over anything on Twitter. It is what it is. But we have a young player who's physically not ready for the Prem. I don't buy into the attitude thing. I really do hope that he's got a good attitude in training. I do believe Klopp when he said, you know, when Klopp says, you know, he's one of the hardest workers in training, you know, I believe that. I can believe he's in there to prove a point. He seems to have that hunger about him. If we loaned him to an upcoming Prem club, or maybe one of the lads, well, maybe one of the likely to win the leagues in the championship, or maybe even out to Germany where he's got to toughen up for a season, there's only benefit to that. There's only benefit. He'll go play 30 games. He'll go play 35 games in his natural position, which, bear in mind, he's only played in his natural position twice this season. Twice that we've played him in his natural position. Every other time we've been playing him in part of this midfield three, he doesn't belong there. It's not where he plays. He's not Coutinho. I know we're all trying to... It's like when you start dating a new girl who looks similar to your ex, and you're like, you're kind of expecting her to act and talk exactly like your ex did. It's a different person. It's a different type of player. And people don't seem willing to accept that. He's good to go out alone. Go get your games, come back and play him. I would be a bit gutted if we sold him, but if you sell him for 20 mil, like... You got to be a bit silly to be that attached to that. It's a business move.
Yeah, I agree. I don't want to sell him at all. I would loan him out. And, you know, there's a handful of clubs I could see him doing well. I think on the last stream I said, before this broke, by the way, and we were discussing Fabio Carvalho then, I said Burnley, Vincent Kompany's Burnley. I think they play a really good brand of football at the minute. And obviously people might still remember the old Burnley and what we associated with them before, but they don't play anything like that now. So I think a lower end Premier League club where he is going to play, he might play in his more natural position. Just get that experience, because let's be honest, he's not had any Premier League experience. The only experience he's had in first team regular football is the Championship. And that is, again, like I said, a very competitive league, but it's also very different to the Premier League. And I just feel like, yeah, that's the point. He's not going to play, even in the Europa League, because we don't play with a 10, first of all. So he can't play there. On the left, we already discussed it. If it's Jota, then it will be Diaz that plays on the left, or even Gakpo. You know, there's options already ahead of him there. So instead of just leaving him to rot, we have to loan him or sell him. They're the only ways around it. So if he gets a good loan move, or if we do sell him, we have to include the buyback clause. We'd be stupid not to, because there is every chance he could go on to be something really spectacular. But for now, I think there's far more concerns to have than what we do with Fabio Carvalho, if I'm completely honest. And look, I still hope it works out for him. I still hope he has a future at this club. But yeah, let's just see what happens. Because like Elliot says, Lynch had already backtracked. He did come out and say that Liverpool have rejected proposals and they don't want him to go. So it would seem like we are leaning towards the loan market for him. So let's just see what happens with that. But lastly, guys, before we wrap things up, it's that man again, guys, that we're going to be discussing. Boom. After the game yesterday, apparently Anfield Road awaits Alexis McAllister. That's a brilliant way to put it. Gaston Edel is as reliable as they come, guys. People are unfamiliar with South American journalists, and fair enough, you know, like, you know, some of them do spout a lot of nonsense, not just South Americans, a lot of the ones that we're not familiar with. But Gaston Edel, CL Merlo, those are the two guys. There's another one as well, I forgot his name, from Argentina, but they're the main two, Gaston Edel and CL Merlo. Anything they say about Alexis McAllister, you can pretty much take it as, you know, biblical, essentially. So he says that Anfield Road is awaiting. Fabrizio Romano has just confirmed that the Hood is going to Brighton. So you would sort of think, okay, put the one and one together. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get two in this situation by doing that very simple equation and not anything else.
Seven.
Yeah, exactly. But Elliot, I don't know if we've really spoken about it since you've been on, mate. I know you was away when most of the stuff broke with McAllister, but you're excited for this one, mate.
Yeah, I think we did a few weeks ago briefly, but my main thing is that, I mean, we've all seen what a player he is. I think Messi absolutely adores him, which I think is the only thing, you know, you should really take from that. But apart from that, he can play everywhere. And the fact that the three midfield positions for Liverpool is a six, is some sort of mad right attacking midfielder who can play up front, or some sort of reserved kind of left side who kind of gets into the box late. And I think he can play all of them. And I think it's absolutely what Liverpool need. I think the left side is going to be his main one. But you've got Jones and Thiago there as well. So it's a really fun signing, I think, because you don't know what the plan is, kind of, where he can be, you know, he can be good in every position. Where he's going to excel, we don't know. But we all know that there should be some plan in place. But I think it's so exciting because you can play him everywhere. He's so creative. He can go score a free kick. We've got a penalty taker now. So it's good. It's really good. I don't care about the price. Do not care. Not my money. So go and spend $200 million on him. I'm not bothered. But midfielder, now there needs to be two more. I'm not accepting any less than three, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think you say about the price there, mate. I think Fabrizio did a tweet a while back saying that, I think it was Fabrizio, saying, you know, there's been a lot of people saying like it's going to be 70 million, but he believes it will be significantly less than that. I think he was saying it would be between 50, 60, which, mm-hmm. Mike, when you think we signed Naby Keita, who is a player I love, by the way, as everybody knows, but I have to be honest, we signed him for 55 million. You know, if he's just a 5 million more than that, mate, 5 years on, good business, isn't it?
It is good business. And you know, the price tag I've seen a lot today, the last couple of days, is 70 million euros. So it's about 60, I'm not sure on the our equator, about 60. I'm gonna work it out, mate. see the cogs turning. About 63 million pound here. Someone quote me on that. If it's 63 million pound, I never did well at maths. So if I'm right, all right, I'm an English student at heart. Ben's fact checking me. But yeah, so I mean, 63 mil is, or 70, well, however much it is.
70 euros in GPB is 60.68 pounds.
It's cheaper than I thought. I'll take it. I'm wrong, but I'm wrong in the right way. So I'll take that. So you're talking about 60 mil? Yeah, listen, that's a great deal because he's young. He's, touch wood, he's not injury prone.
Oh my God, no.
No, you said that.
If he ends up getting injured, why did I say it? If he ends up getting injured, you can come back.
It's going to happen. He's a midfielder and he's coming to Liverpool.
that's true. We have no... Hey, my brother works in the medical department. He's, you know, I mean, he works in the women's team, to be fair, and they don't get injured. See, the women's team don't get injured, and that's because of my brother. but listen, he's going to do great. I think he's going to do fantastically well. And like Elliot said, there's a real excitement because, almost similar to Gakpo, we don't know where he's actually going to fit in now. He's signing, you know, we were assuming, you know, probably left-hand side. We don't know how we're going to edit this formation over the summer because there's still a lot of tweaking to do. Mm-hmm. So if he could go on the right, because we've lost the race for Mason Mount. I don't know how everyone feels about that. It is really on United. I don't think anyone's too concerned. Oh, no, you know what I mean? I think Mount's a decent
Elliot
player.
Wanted him to be fair.
That's fair. Listen, I think
it's Shabazz Lai is the backup. I'm all in on Shabazz Lai. So
yeah, it's one of them. Yeah. Probably would have divided the fan base the way Henderson does, to be honest, Mount. And that's because it's a hard-working midfielder that can't necessarily guarantee you goals and assists. People on social media hate that. It is what it is. So McAllister, I can see McAllister working on the left and the right. I agree with Elliot. I want three midfielders. If we end up converting Trent to a full midfielder, which is, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if it did happen, it'd be interesting to see if we convert him to a six or someone to play alongside the six. You know what I mean? So are we going to go and sign a number six and then play Trent alongside him? Or are we going to go sign another eight? I'd prefer us go sign another six because I still don't necessarily trust Trent in that role, if I'm being honest with you.
Trust Fabinho in that role after this season either.
So. Yeah, I still have faith and love for Fabinho, but like,
I know.
I fully understand a lot of fans have lost that, and I can understand why. You know, I can understand why. But Ben, what do you think? Actually, will you ask us the questions? What about you? What do you think about our midfield going into next season?
No, I agree. Look, Fabinho has done my head in. I feel like watching Fabinho this season, I'm almost going to go to his hairstyle watching him play. Just completely bald. He's made me want to rip every single strand of hair out. And I've got decent hair. Like, my hair's thick.
Wear a hat, mate. I've never seen
it. I need a trim, mate, I wear a cap. It is thick on top. Completely messed up at the minute. But look, Fabinho, I just hope, right, that we will be in a stage where when we sign better midfielders, we'll see a better version of Fabinho. And I think we did see that to some extent when Trent started to play alongside him. I think you put somebody in there that can actually play football, and I know that sounds like a mad thing to say, but it worked for a bit. And yesterday was just completely terrible from all of them. Curtis Jones didn't really get involved. Fabinho was shocking. Henderson, when he came on, gets an assist. Brilliant. But I think McAllister is the long-term Thiago replacement. I don't think Thiago extends. I think that we're seeing this, you know, it's a word that's popped up a lot recently, ruthless. And I think hopefully we'll be learning from our mistakes. I absolutely adore Thiago, but if we're going to give him 200 grand a week again, or maybe more than that, to play 15 games a season, I'm not sure I want to be doing that, to be honest. So
he's a good looking lad, though, isn't he? He's a good looking lad.
Listen, he's a good looking lad. And he's the very sad thing about him, Mike, is he's an unbelievable player. I've not seen many midfielders at this club as good as him. In fact, I've probably seen one that's technically better than him, and we all know who that is. Naby Keita. I'm joking.
Henderson.
Tell you what.
I'm joking. But
I agree.
So Gerrard for me is the only one, and I just feel like obviously the injuries has just killed him. So for me, everyone goes on about the right centre mid, which is of course it's probably more important, but I think it's also equally as important to get somebody in to step up from Thiago when he goes. And what better player for him to learn under than Thiago? You know, this guy is bald under Messi. This guy has already shown us that. And this sounds crazy to say, but it's a fact and it's the truth. He was on the same wavelength as Messi in the World Cup. We saw it. So to play under him, to play with Thiago or to learn from Thiago, I think it's going to be a brilliant move for us. And, you know, seeing somebody like him come in that can get goals from midfield, that can provide assists, I think it'll be a breath of fresh air. The right centre mid spot is still a bit up in the air. I did say on many pods and many tweets that for the right price, I would have taken Mount. And Elliot, when we did our summer refresh stream a few weeks about now, we all said about 40 million, mate. And
it's now looking like
70. So for 70 Not million, I am more than happy. You know what, United, you want to continue wasting money? Fine. You go ahead and do that and we'll get, I don't know. It's kind of weird because it was Bellingham and Mount was the main two that we saw for a long time. Then it obviously shifted to McAllister and Mount. Now it's McAllister and we don't really know who the other one is. We're seeing Lavia reports. We're seeing Gravenberch is still not going away. We're seeing, obviously, there was the whole Ugarte thing, which again, that's another story.
But if you want to place a bet, Ben, if you want to, just all three of us right now, you got to name someone different. No one can say the same player. Just name one midfielder and we'll check back at the end of the summer, see who's right. I'm going to get him first and I'm going to say Gravenberch. I reckon we're going to get Gravenberch from Munich. It makes sense, cost effective.
I say Lavia. That's a lot.
I'm saying Szoboszlai. I saw something saying 40 million.
Who? He's got a release clause, hasn't he? I thought he's
something
got
like that. Leipzig, I butchered his name. It's an S and a Szoboszlai, Z. So.
Oh, I know what you're on about. Yeah, you didn't know that. Bloody hell.
I thought I read his clause. The 63 mil release clause.
I don't know. I saw like 45 million.
I think it's 63 million euro.
It's one of them, isn't it, where they've got a history of doing one out of the blue and one which there's been no links. And I just, he was a tiny little report, and I'm just fingers crossed.
he's a baller, player. To be fair.
He's some Unreal. Player, yeah.
He is some player. I just hope we desperately, to be fair, none of us said Barella. None of us actually said a six, which kind of tells you.
Yeah, we desperately need a six.
You said Lavia. Actually, I'll take that back. Yeah. Do you think that's possible? Do you think that's really on the cards?
It's just things that we've read. Like, we saw that the agents had been talking, and you know, we'd seen that he's open to leaving. Obviously, a team will try and sign him this summer, because if they don't, he will go back to City the summer after for I think it was 40 million.
Yeah,
he's not going to play in the Championship, he's way too good for that. So, I just feel like if he was on the move, you know, we'd be a good club for him to come to. But again, I do feel like, is there a scenario where we can have Bajcetic and Lavia together, developing them both at the same time, making sure they both play a similar amount of minutes? It could be tough. But I think from what I've seen from Lavia, taking away his assist from yesterday, I think this season we've seen a top midfielder who is probably going to go on to be, you know, one of the best in his position, you know, when he's in his mid-20s. So I think it's something that we should explore for sure. But guys, we are going to wrap things up, because it's gone on for over an hour, and really do appreciate all the support. There's still 14 of you guys in here, so please make sure you smash the like button if you haven't. We will be back at some point later on this week for a full season review, where we break down the absolute disaster that's happened. We'll have a laugh about it. You know, we like to take things with a bit of pinch of salt, and just have a bit of a more chilled out session. Look, we're all angry, we're all sad, we're all disappointed. But what's screaming down a microphone gonna do? What's tweeting about it every day gonna do? You wake up at 9 a.m. you tweet about FSG. What is that gonna solve? Listen, enjoy your life, right? Football, we all love it. We're all in love with this club. We all love the players. We all love the manager. But we're just fans. Like, we can have opinions, of course. Everyone's got opinions. Some are more strong than others. We are all still hurting the same this season, watching this team play, as people that just go on about it all the time. The difference is, you know, we like to just do these podcasts, give you guys a better watch, because if we were just miserable on here every single stream, who's going to watch? I wouldn't watch that. If I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't watch a podcast if people were not happy and, you know, laughing about it. So, guys, we'll be better next season. We'll get some signings in. We'll see what happens in terms of where we finish. But again, that's for another stream. Just want to thank these boys as well. Elliot, you've been absolutely smashing it with us. You've been on loads of shows. And Mike, you've just joined the team as well. So I'm pretty sure you'll be going on to the same next season. All the other guys as well in our TAT pod chat as well, the new guys that have just joined the team, you lot will see them coming on the show very, very shortly. But like I said at the start, guys, we're going to be doing preview shows next season with opposition guests. So it's not just going to be us, guys. It's going to be United fans. It's going to be Chelsea fans, Forest fans. There's going to be Arsenal fans. I still need to find 3 clubs to get a representative for. But it's going to be a whole load of fun, because, you know, if it's a City fan, we'll be able to laugh at them when they bottle the Champions League into Milan. So
exactly.
Happy days. But that's all we've got time for tonight, guys. Please make sure you smash the like button on your way out. Subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you guys next time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.